Studio in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back to Packer Transplants Live.
Oh my goodness.
And I do stress.
What's happening?
Live. I'm here.
Crap.
With my partner here at Cheesehead TV, I'm Aaron Nagler. This is Mr. Corey Banky. We're coming to you live, and I stress again, live from the LiveX studios in Manhattan. Corey Banky, why don't you tell me what is on tap this afternoon?
Today, we're going to break down the Packers' offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares?
They had one?
They had one, and get ready for the opener against the Bears. Right now, it's time for the good.
It's time?
The bad and the ugly. We got the good. We got...
getting through camp relatively healthy.
We got the bad. We got
Khalil Mack traded in the division.
And we got the ugly. We got
the Bears.
Still suck. Oh, no.
Banky, we're back.
Oh, my goodness. It only took 2.5 years. Different studio.
Different studio. We're very much older, wiser, better for it.
Maybe. I don't know about
you
that.
No, I only have one question for you. Before we begin, we have a script, but you know we're already going to go off
seasons.
Of it. 100 seasons.
100
Corey
seasons.
Banky, Corey Banky repping the 100 seasons.
The 100th season of the Green Bay Packers.
Okay. I got to ask you this question. Before we start, before I'm going off script already. So what I got to ask you. Did you pay attention at all this offseason?
What happened?
Exactly. So... any new viewers out there who may or may not know this show? I know there are a couple people on Twitter chiming in, oh, what's this?
What's
people
this seem show?
People seem really excited about it. a very limited number of people, but a few people seem happy that it's returning. What is this thing? Let me check it out. Let's just like dispel any rumors here. Corey doesn't like pay attention at all
in
the offseason.
Let me tell you this,
Batman. Let's just make sure everyone knows this.
Riddle me this, Batman.
Oh, okay.
This should be what did we actually learn this offseason?
Well, we learned there were transactions, there were people let go, there
great.
Were people brought on
great.
Board.
Great. The biggest thing
people
we learned.
Injured.
The biggest thing we
injured.
Learned this offseason.
What's that?
Is that our tight ends and our offense is going to be awesome.
There you go. There
okay?
You go. There you go.
That's what we learned.
There you go. There's a little
but
optimism.
Like, 8 wide receiver BS and Kumaro doing a somersault in the tub. Like, there were some good things.
Oh, God.
But I can't, that last wait. Game, you can't even, I can't even watch the last game.
I know, but look at, wait,
I know this guy Tanyan did a good thing. I'm like, oh, that's great.
This guy Tanyan did
whatever,
a good thing.
He like had some touchdowns.
Right.
Is that ever going to happen this season? Maybe.
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 You never know.
Maybe on Sunday.
Yeah. Okay, here's my thing. I love that you brought up Kumaro, because that's how big the Kumaro story was, right? And it wasn't even that big.
It was huge.
But, like, Corey Banky knew about it. That's how big it was. Corey, I never pay attention in the offseason. Banky
I mean,
knew about Jake
I watched
Kumaro.
That game where he had a... I watched the preseason
the
game
with you.
The
Steelers game.
Yeah, it was great.
It was great.
It was fun for a quarter. And then it was
but
over.
But hey, wait. But you were dismissive of the last preseason game, and I get it. It is unwatchable. For someone like yourself who is very all in on the regular season,
they're all
the fortunes of the team, etc. But hey, that's where this kid Crawford, that's where he won a job because of his special teams performance in that game, that particular game.
That's great.
Put him over the top and put him on the team.
Here's the craziness though about preseason, okay? Yeah. You spend all this time, right? We do a microcosm. It's the first day of camp. We were there, right?
Yeah,
we were there getting shut down by some people. And that was fun. So
we'll get there.
We're there.
A lot of ball game left, thank you.
We're there on training camp.
Right.
We're having a good time, and everybody's all excited because it feels like it's football season, right?
Yep.
It's the biggest tease in the world, okay? Because here's the craziness, right?
Right.
There's this narrative thread that's happening in 32 teams.
Sure.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
On other teams, this narrative that we missed, right? So now we got guys on our team,
right?
Who we missed their whole preseason narrative. We don't know anything about them.
I see it.
Right?
I feel you.
So it's like you spend all this time with guys that ultimately...
Oh, yeah. 1,000,000,000%. Like, you have all these, like... Well, and plus, when you're on the beat... Now, I'm gonna throw that at you.
Oh, there you go.
When you're on the beat, Mr. Banky, allow me to...
Yeah, you're welcome.
...learned you some
you're
things.
Welcome. You're welcome, by the way.
Yeah, you'll be... Exactly. but when you are on the beat, you talk to the same dudes, and you write the same stories, and you talk about the same stuff on your podcast... week after week after week. It's always Rodgers did this. He's amazing. He's dragging this team along. Oh, Dom Capers screwed up. You know, a decade of that. You live for preseason because you're dealing with guys who you know you're not going to write about for the rest of the year. You know you're not going to talk to for the most part during the week. Like, it's just these. It's that time. It's the time for those guys to dig in, find out who they are, whether they're going to make the team or not. It's like there's some great stories there. So the beat gloms onto those guys because, you know, it's something different.
I hear you.
So, but I understand.
The beat.
The
beat. But it's crazy because how many questions you get about guys that basically aren't on the team
anymore? Oh, that's, you know, and you and I used to go round and round about this, but I've come around to your way of thinking. Like, over the last, like, 2 or 3 years, it's this idea that it's such hyper kind of intense scrutiny of the fourth tight end position. Like, dudes, if the fourth tight end is contributing in any meaningful way down the stretch this season,
something's wrong.
They're in trouble. All right? The Millennium Falcon's hyperdrive is broken. They're in the asteroid trying to fix it at that point. Right? And that doesn't mean that they can't be successful doing
that. So last season, basically.
Right. Or the last, you know, 5, 6 seasons. Should we get back on script?
Oh, yeah, because I think our graphics operator's going to
be we have... Okay, here's the crazy thing. Here's the crazy thing.
We have staff.
Thing.
We actually have cameras, but Aubrey's going to kill me if I go to the MCR camera.
It used to be. It used to be that it was just you and me sitting in your, spare room.
I'm switching right now, magically.
In your spare room up in Inwood, the upper West Side. And when things didn't work right before the show, it was just you and I, like, freaking out. Now we had a whole, like, control room full of people freaking out. So that's good. Well, actually, they probably weren't freaking out.
They weren't freaking out.
They were fine.
They actually don't care.
But that's even better point.
They actually do this professionally, so this is like, they're like,
it's like nothing.
What are we doing right now?
Right.
What's going on?
Why are we working with these amateurs?
Exactly.
Okay, so the news. There is some Packer news to talk about, even though you're going to be bored, but we got to do it. Got to eat our vegetables prior to getting to the good stuff. So number one on our news ticker, so to speak, Josh Jones is the only non-participant in today's practice. Now, because Mr. Banky wants to go at 5 p.m. Eastern, we do not have a injury report for you. Mm. So we don't really know what's going on with Josh. But if I had told you prior to the season starting that week one Wednesday before the Bears opener, the Packers would have only one guy on their 53-man roster sitting out, I think you would have been pretty pleased.
I would have been pleased.
So...
I'll tell you what I'm not pleased about.
Oh dear.
The 2015 draft. Okay.
We'll get there. Let's stay on script.
I hear you. It's just that leads into the secondary,
a lot of questions.
How many times do we have to enter a season where the secondary and the linebacker core is our weakest link?
Hey, but we don't know what they are right now. Let's let them take a snap or two before we just declare what's the weak link, what isn't.
I'll bet you $100 right now on this show live, okay?
But what? What is it? What, their PFF rating that is going to be low? Like, what's the measurement?
That out of the seven overall positions, right?
Okay.
Special teams being one of the seven.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That secondary is the weakest link on Sunday. Tremont Williams notwithstanding.
Okay, so Tremont is exempt from the Banky wrath.
He's going to have two picks.
Two picks. Wow. I thought predictions were later, but okay.
Two picks. Well, 16-0, two picks, and 100-0.
Exactly.
Well, no, is that even statistically possible?
Of course.
77-0.
All right, whatever you say. The next little item, again, along the lines of health, Oren Burks and James Crawford, both working in pads. Now, Corey Banky, I got to ask you this question. And to complete that, they work in pads, but they did not do team stuff, I believe. Do you know who Oren Burks and James Crawford are?
Yes, I follow Oren Burks on Twitter.
Very good.
James Crawford, no idea. Is he a linebacker?
He's the kid who made it because of the special teams game I was talking about.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
That's nice.
He was picked up literally the day before the first preseason game.
Gotcha. Oren Burks, yeah. I will say, he's impressive on social. He's really impressive on social media, and he had a tweet yesterday that a lot of people were going to be angry about, but I thought was really good, and he was like, look.
It was about Kaepernick.
It was about Kaepernick, and it was like, hey, instead of burning your Nikes, donate them to charity.
See, what's funny is that's a great sentiment.
That's good.
Except, like,
some Gatorade.
I saw, like, 500 people tweet something akin to that, so I think it was a common sentiment. It is a great sentiment, I will say that. Albeit, probably unoriginal. And final.
No, not original.
Final piece of a little bit of news happened earlier today. I love this. I love it. Bears, Packers, we're back, people. Akeem Hicks, because, you know, he can't get to Aaron Rodgers. He's very excited. He was talking to the Green Bay media. I was on the call. Thank you. I did back in the beat. Akeem Hicks.
Is our entire show
to the local media? Oh, that's all I'm going to do.
When I was on the beat, that's all I'm going to do.
That is all I'm doing.
Okay, I got to have some good comebacks.
Akeem Hicks said point blank, speaking about the Packers offensive line, throwing up some bulletin board material, said, I know those guys can't block Khalil Mack.
Oh, come on.
He straight up said it, and then he reiterated it later in the call.
If we had a dollar for all of the Packer fans on Twitter and the trolls who were so disappointed in the fact that we didn't get Khalil Mack.
Hashtag real fan.
We would be like, we wouldn't be billionaires. We would be right between thousandaires and millionaires.
Thousandaires.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Oh, that's great.
It was like we were about to win the lottery. I don't even
know. I hear
it was
you. Ridiculous. I hear you. Well, that
was ridiculous.
I understand the disappointment. I do, because Khalil Mack would have been a game changer on the defensive side of the ball. I totally get that. I'm not surprised the Packers didn't go all in and try and wreck their salary cap to do it.
And the other thing is, well, the biggest thing about that trade is it doesn't make any sense. If you got somebody who's always...
It makes perfect sense for the Bears 100%. To have a rookie on a quarterback on his rookie deal.
They are going to have a terrible season this year, like they always do, okay? And so, if you're looking at two teams of the what do you call these? The teens? The aught teens? The aught teens, right?
Word. Sure.
If you're John Gruden, right?
Right.
Who's obviously senile, like Bob McGinn.
No!
And some other people.
It's quicker than I would have thought.
If you're weighing scales, right?
Right.
You're probably going to pick the Bears as your trading partner
of course you
they're likely to have a top 10 first round pick. Yeah. We are not. When's the last time we had, like 15 was the highest we've picked in the last decade?
Right. I hear you. No, and I agree. It was funny because I put that on, I had a tweet where someone was asking me about the trade, and I said, and they said, oh, you know, typical low-balling Packers or something like that. And I said, yo, come on. Gutekunst was willing to give up at least one first round pick. We don't know for sure if he offered a second one, but we know he was offering multiple picks, including a first rounder. He was also willing, by doing so, acknowledging the fact that he was willing to sign Mack to a monster deal.
Yeah.
He was willing to make him because the whole reason this guy became available is because he wanted to be the highest paid defensive player. He was willing to do that, to have not only the highest paid player in the league in Aaron Rodgers, but also turn around and give Khalil Mack a monster contract.
On par with Aaron Rodgers.
And then the Bears came along and said, no, 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 we'll give you all this and we'll pay the guy. So, of course, like you said, the Bears looked, and I put this in the tweet, and I said, Gruden clearly thinks that the Bears are going to be worse than the Packers, which, I'm sorry, I don't think that's an outlandish statement. I think it's pretty close to fact.
No.
And you should have seen the triggered Bears fans that I mentioned.
Well, you know.
Look, I wasn't even ripping on the Bears. I'm just saying that's what Gruden's probably thinking.
Being a Manhattanite.
That's your version of my days on the beat. Like,
yeah.
Well, in Manhattan.
Well,
for those of you who live in Queens, you may not know.
Living in a dense urban environment, I understand when your team should, right? We're talking about the second or third largest city in the in the country.
The country, yeah.
And when's the last time the Bears made the playoffs?
A long time ago.
Has it been a decade?
In a galaxy far, far away.
Holy shnikes.
I mean, they did go to, with Lovie Smith, they went to a Super Bowl with Rex Grossman at quarterback. That's pretty impressive.
Come on, nobody remembers that.
It was in the rain against Peyton Manning. Of course they remember that.
I don't.
All right.
I've blocked it out.
Of course you have. All right.
What's
next? We're getting back. Back on script, Becker. Back on
offense,
script.
Offense.
The offense. Now here's my question. And I know you're going to be able to break it down for me, Mr. Banky.
I will.
You've really paid attention all offseason.
I actually have.
Okay.
On the offense.
Now here's my question. Of course. Here's my question. How new is this offensive playbook going to be, really?
I don't think new.
I know they, you know, talked about going back to square one with the playbook and retooling some things on offense. And Rodgers talked about, you know, the change in some of the protection schemes, etc. But are we still, I mean, are we really all of a sudden going to see a lot of bunch sets and two tight ends and rub routes? Or is it going to be like, spread it out, three wide receivers, one tight end. Everybody try and get open isolation route.
I don't know. You actually have blocking tight ends, which is something we haven't had in a while. I think that's kind of the difference. Mercedes Lewis. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I've never seen a man. There was a practice at camp this year where I've never seen a man do what Mercedes Lewis did to Kyler Fackrell in one play from scrimmage where Fackrell, you saw the life kind of just drain, the will drain from his body. Mercedes Lewis looked like a father at a like family picnic playing with his son.
Doing this.
Like, pretty much. It was like little Fackrell was coming around the corner. They slid away. Rodgers slid the protection right. Lewis was on the left. And it was like, just don't even worry about your left side. Because everyone's going to slide right, and Lewis is going to obliterate Fackrell. And that's exactly what he did. It was
to that point, you got a guy like that. You got Graham. Right?
Well, Graham's going to be a weapon.
You have to put both of them on the field as much as possible.
Kyle Cousineau is here.
Oh, my goodness.
Kyle Cousineau showed up live. I know.
What is happening
Kyle
Cousineau hasn't tweeted me in like eight years.
Kyle Cousineau be like with his young child? I mean, you're shirking your fatherly responsibilities to come watch this show.
Well, maybe the baby's watching the show.
Well, I hope so. I mean, if you're raising it right. If you're going to make it a Packer fan from birth.
If you want the baby to cry, though.
This show should be
If you want the baby to cry, though, shouldn't watch the show.
Yeah.
I don't think we're that soothing.
No, that's pretty good. People are liking your shade at McGinn, by the way. Mm. Very popular on the
I really don't chat. Like Bob McGinn.
We'll get to it. Let's keep trucking.
Actually, there's a lot of people at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel don't like.
That's all I hear.
But you know what's great about the show? About Cheesehead TV?
What's that?
Is I'm a fan and I get to just be a fan.
That's right.
I love it.
You do. And you know what's funny? Is I've kind of forgotten how to be a fan.
Do you even know what that's like?
I don't anymore. I gotta admit. Okay, we're like off here, but I gotta admit.
No, we talked about offense. We're gonna get back to offense. We're taking a break.
I gotta admit, there was a moment. Someone on Twitter asked me, like just straight up, this was the tweet. Are you a Packers fan?
Yeah, I saw that.
That was like a couple weeks ago.
Sometimes.
And I said
it's complicated, yeah.
Because at that moment, I was like, I had kind of forgotten how to be a fan. And it's kind of been coming back to me. It's like when Han Solo got unfrozen out of carbonite.
I knew it was going to be a Star Wars
movie. Of course it was. But like, so, you know, Han's kind of, can't see. He's disoriented.
Okay, I'm not Princess Leia in that.
No, I can
scenario.
Hope not. Good Lord.
By the way.
No. That was my wife. My wife was Princess Leia.
She held me up and woke me up.
And someone who loves you and all that. That was
So what you're saying
away
is I'm Chewbacca?
Here. Yes, precisely.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, you make the ship fly. It makes sense. So it was kind of like that thing of like, oh, I've been so programmed, like blinders, like impartial, I must see
things. I am a reporter.
And then I was like, you know what? The Bears still suck. Let's go. And now I'm back. I'm thinking I'm back.
Are you fully back?
I hope so.
Okay, that's nice.
I mean, what are you worried I'm a double agent?
No, I just think I actually got to experience your non-fandom, and it was kind of hilarious.
Was it annoying?
I would be in my house, and we'd be watching the game,
right.
And I would like go crazy, and you would actually look at me like I was in the press room with you, and like I couldn't scream, I couldn't say anything, and I was like, dude, one, I'm in my house, two, like, bro, like, what are you doing?
Okay, I have so many things to talk about now.
Back All on right. the beat.
Right, wait,
okay,
yeah.
offense
no.
though.
We're no, on the no, 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 no. I can't. You kind of brought that up. I can't let that go. Okay, there's two things about that. One, let's for longtime viewers, you'll notice what Banky just said about we're watching the game, a real game, a regular season game that matters in the standings, together in his house in Green Bay. The game that he is speaking of is being played across the street at Lambeau Field. Now, any longtime viewer of Packer Transplants will remember Corey's many, many rants about...
I go to the games.
About how he goes to the games.
I go to the games.
And you don't know what you're talking about if you don't go to the games, blah, blah. If you watch on TV, you don't know what you're talking about, blah, 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 blah. But I will say now Mr. Banky has become... one of us.
I like being in my home sometimes,
yes, yes.
And I like being at the stadium sometimes.
Okay, and my other thing I wanted...
I do both, though.
I know. You do. You do split it up. But this is the other thing I wanted to mention about what you just said. You're absolutely correct. For those who don't know, when I went to Green Bay, I wouldn't watch the games in the press box. I would watch it at Banky's house because Gannett wanted me to cover not only the game but also the broadcast. Like if Joe Buck said something or there was something that went viral on the off the broadcast, they wanted me to be able to cover it, etc. Which I get. That was part of my gig. But there was, you're right, I would very much be working. Like I was zoomed in, and sometimes your family would be there, and I felt rude sometimes because I was always like, "Hey, how are you?" But I would be like completely focused on the game.
You could get those Twitter videos
out. Two years ago, it was the Seattle game, where Davante Adams scored that long touchdown. It was third and short on the opening drive, and Adams burned them up the right sideline. Rodgers finds him, touchdown. I think that was the first game that year that you watched at home.
Uh-huh.
Because it was just you and me. And I was in my thing. I was like, oh, yes, okay, big line. And not a sound escaped me. So I'm like, big touchdown. And literally you from behind me, I had forgotten you were there. And then, because you hadn't said much.
Pretty typical.
You hadn't said much. And then Adam's like, and you like, I won't say it here live, but you swore so loud, like, motherfucker. Seahawks, like I jumped out of my chair because I forgot you were there, and I was like,
"Hey, forgot."
Oh, right. Corey's here. He's a fan. This is what.
Yeah,
happens.
He's a fan.
This is what happens in football games.
Look, see, this is what you got to beat out of these beat writers. Yeah, fan.
It's their job.
A fan has showed up.
I know. We'll get there. All right, let's get back to the offense. Here we go.
Okay.
So Adams or Graham? I have this question for you. Everyone's been talking about the addition of Jimmy Graham. You just mentioned him. But, you know, Davante Adams
balled
out last year.
What does that mean? Who's going to have more touchdowns?
Who has the bigger year?
Whatever
that means to you.
Davante Adams. Davante Adams.
What is your thinking behind that selection?
He's a number one wide receiver in the NFL.
Cool. Yeah.
And I think he's going to break the top five this year.
Yeah.
I think last year he was right at six or seven.
I think he would have been unquestioned the top five last year if he had Rodgers.
If he had Rodgers. Right. But he was still in, like, the top 15, I believe.
Yep.
He was in the, and I think he's going to be a top five wide receiver this year. I think the way he catches, the things I saw at training camp that I got, the little bit I saw, he's just above and beyond everyone else.
Yep.
He's elevated his game to a level. Like, he's like a Michelin star. He's like a three Michelin star right now.
I
think this year he has this, the way he like lifts, like at the last minute, like,
I love that.
It's so amazing.
Jennings used to do that. That when you're running down and you,
they don't even know when you're going to catch it.
You
you're just
you
like,
don't
whoop,
let
going to catch
know
it right
the ball
now.
Ball is, and you put your hands up the last second.
Love that. You know, I think Jimmy Graham early on is going to have a huge year, and he's probably going to have a really big year. But if you say who's one, who's two, I think that's the way it goes. Now, I think it's going to be really close.
Yeah, I feel that. Graham's going to be a monster.
Graham is going to be a monster on this team. He's so big.
With Rodgers, like,
it's ridiculous. He's going to be Jordy Nelson on steroids in terms of like how much Rodgers throws to him.
I tell you what, I think Seahawks fans are going to be pissed watching Jimmy Graham this year because they're going to be like, where was this guy? Because he wasn't used right.
Yeah.
So, okay, that's okay. a little on the offense. Let's switch over to the defensive side of the ball. Mike Pettine, I love this hire. We know Dom Capers was held on for too long by Mike McCarthy. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any question.
Everything
there.
Was kind of too long. If you look at 2015 to now, it's like we waited 3 years
Dom
to get
Capers.
Rid of Ted Thompson. We waited two years to get rid of Dom Capers.
Right.
How many articles did I read where it was like, Dom Capers, his defense is totally like... there was a thing that happened last year that kind of opened everybody's eyes, my eyes especially, I'm sure a lot of people already said this,
right.
Where I saw this, I can't remember what it was. It was maybe on Bleacher Report. Someone was talking about how Dom Capers' actual defense, because of where offenses are in the modern era, was actually feeding...
Right.
The offense.
Yep.
So
that.
His defense had no chance in its philosophy.
Well, especially with the newer offensive coordinators who grew up basically watching that defense and, you know, playing with coaches who coach that scheme. So you're right. You're absolutely right. I think Mike Pettine was an awesome hire. I said it. I went on Facebook Live the night the news broke and said I thought this was going to be basically the acquisition / move of the offseason. And nothing happened or transpired throughout the offseason to change my mind. I think Pettine is going to make a world of difference. I'm very interested to see how he schemes up pressure, because he's going to have to.
Yeah.
You know, the days of Clay Matthews being a pass-rushing terror are over, but I do think he can still be effective. I do think Nick Perry can still be effective. We know that it's only a matter of time before one or both of them are injured, and then you're stuck with Reggie Gilbert, who I really love. His upside is great. and Kyler Fackrell, who is Kyler Fackrell.
Yeah.
So I think there's going to be, and there was some stuff we saw this summer on the practice field that really didn't get written about a lot because you only saw like two or three snaps of it, but like four-man lines with only two linebackers and things of that nature, where I think you're going to see a lot of mixing and matching. And, you know, Rodgers mentioned it, a lot of free rushers. Petten is the master at getting guys free at the quarterback. Now, in today's NFL, you know, quarterbacks get the ball out of their hands so quickly.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you're never going to, you're not going to, your getting home rate is not going to be even close to even 70%. But I do think you're going to see more quarterback pressures, more disruption from this defense. And I'm really interested to see how Petten schemes it up.
Well, one of my favorite videos of the offseason that I did watch was Tremont Williams. And it was early on. I think it was like the four. I retweeted it. It was one of the few Packers.com videos I retweeted because it was a really amazing video. And he talks about, you know, how, you know, because he has a lot of experience in this defense.
Right.
He talked about how it's a freeing defense and how it allows you to just not have to think. And,
yeah.
You know, it's one of the biggest things I think in all that goes across all industries where the less you have to think and the more that you can let your talent, right? The more I can get out of my head and I don't have to think about all the things.
That's what we used to talk about at school.
Get out of your head.
Learning, you know,
like just do
training
it,
to be
right?
actors.
And so the more these guys can just do it and they don't have to think, oh, what's my coverage? What's my second? What's my thing?
Yep.
And I just feel like Dom Capers' defense, whatever it was very cerebral and it never really gelled. Like there, since like Packer Fan Fest had gelled and there were turnovers, but the problem with that defense, and this is pretty much every defense in the NFL except for like three. Every year there's like three and they spend a lot of money on their defense usually.
Yep.
There's whoever has the turnover ratio. It was when the greatest show on turf, right? Yeah, they had the highest turnover differential. Yeah. 97, 96, we had the highest turnover differential.
And McCarthy preaches that every year.
It's the biggest thing on a defense.
When they went 4-6 and then ran the table, the biggest thing that changed, and everyone talks about Aaron Rodgers, Ty Montgomery, Jared Cook, but the biggest thing that changed was turnover differential. All of a sudden, they went from like -6, -7 to +10.
Yeah, if you can get
that was it.
If you can get plus, if you can get anywhere near plus double digits, I mean, even +8, +9, you are loving life.
Yes,
like you're winning games.
Yep, no doubt, no doubt. The other thing about the defense I wanted to touch on real quick was inside linebacker, because it's such an interesting position to me because they've clearly devalued it throughout Ted Thompson's tenure. And, you know, you can't realistically say that you've seen Brian Gutekunst turn around and go, all of a sudden, we need a stud inside linebacker. But, you know, the addition of Oren Burks, I think he looks like a player. Now, we got to see what he looks like coming off the shoulder injury. I mean, who gets injured in freaking pregame warmups? Oh, my gosh.
Who gets injured during a somersault in the touchdown?
All right, you're going back to Kumaro now. Just relax, relax. Okay, let's go. Let's go. Let's talk about it.
No, I don't need to talk about it.
No, let's talk about it. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Well, how does that happen? How does that happen? How
are you Green Bay Packer.
How are you trying to make the team and you do a somersault and you get injured?
He's, you know, God forbid. The
That's like some stuff I would do.
God forbid the guy has a little
That's
fun.
Some shit I would do. That I would seriously do that. Yeah, I would be like, I'm so excited to be here. That happens to me in Green Bay sometimes when I was drinking. I would get to Wisconsin when I happened to me so easy. I guess I kind of know. It's like I would get to Wisconsin, right? And you get there on a Friday, and it's about to be game day, right? It's going to happen in 2 days. And now I'm like older and wiser, which is not saying a lot.
No.
So I get there, and I'd be like, oh man, I'm in Wisconsin. Let me get some cheese curds. Right. Let me get some beer. Got my fridge. I'm drinking. I'm just like, oh yeah. And all of a sudden I'm throwing up old fashions, right? I'm waking up at 4 a.m. and old fashions are coming out of my body. And is it purple?
You did stain that carpet pretty badly. That was
I had to get rid of my Packers carpet because of that. It was ridiculous.
I know.
So, okay, Kumaro, I'm sorry. I didn't understand. Now I understand.
Now you get it. Now you see.
A little excited.
He was a little excited. He just took the ball 80 yards to the house, you know, and he's got two guys right on his tail. That's the other thing. If you really go back and look at that play, yes. Is it unnecessary? Probably. But there's a dude closing on him who's about to be ready to hit him as he's about to cross the goal line. He wants to make sure he gets in the end zone. Now, should he have just extended the ball? Yeah. Of course. But, you know, I'm getting all fun. Jesus, look at the end zone. This is preseason, whatever. He did a Lambeau leap afterwards. It's like, okay, fine. He's having a good time.
Well, somebody gets injured on a Lambeau leap. That's a little different than a somersault.
No, I know.
Personally.
And then that's the other thing. oh, Kumerow, he's so stupid. Oh, you really cost the team. Jake Kumerow wasn't going to be like the number one option on any passing play from September through November. So just relax, people. Relax on the Kumerow hate is all I'm saying. Inside linebacker, I'm interested to see. Obviously, Blake Martinez is going to be all about it. Mr. Tying for, most tackles in the league last year. Got to think how it's going to play out. Oren Burks, if he's healthy. Someone in the control room is a little early.
Somebody's like, hey, we got to get to this other part.
They're really bored. They're really bored.
They're like, what?
They're this so is the,
they're
bored.
Like, this is the most boring thing I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, these poor kids.
The only good thing about these it is they're getting kids. Paid to do it right now.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's the crazy part.
That's crazy. People are getting paid to produce this show.
That's those poor children. That's all I can say. Inside linebacker, I think it's going to be probably Morrison early on, rundowns, and then Burks and passing downs. It really depends on Burks' shoulder.
So what is the inside track on a first round, on a first time rookie linebacker, though? You know, I understand wide receivers, but like how, I mean, I guess Clay Matthews, his first year was right out of the gate.
But he was special, and it showed up, especially in the second week of his rookie year. He had 3 sacks against Buffalo.
Oren Burks had that penetration play in the second game. He had some
Pittsburgh,
really cool,
absolutely.
He had some really good plays.
It's funny because I think Jake Ryan's injury obviously hurried his, his track, so to speak. They got him on the field a lot more. He played a lot more with the ones. Then he hurt himself in pregame warmups. But they look like they absolutely looks like they have a player, and he's played pretty much to his scouting report. Like he's good in space. He's a pretty decent coverage guy. He struggles to get off blocks when those big guards, tackles, even centers get up on him. He has a problem disengaging from blocks, and that's something we heard practice after practice after practice, is him getting yelled at. Get off that block! Get off that block! Like, you heard it every day. So, and he did seem to improve a little bit as the preseason wore on those first 2 games, but then he got hurt. So, we'll see, and that's something the Bears will be targeting. There's no doubt about it. If he is on the field, you can bet guys will be going after his shoulder.
Yeah.
There's zero doubt of that.
Yeah.
Real quickly, before we get to blogosphere, we got special teams, because special teams is a third of the game, Banky.
What happened?
The Packers actually have a punter?
Oh, my
goodness. What is happening?
This was literally the most depressing part of offseason.
Okay? Was when they drafted a punter?
Yeah. Drafting a punter, Vince Lombardi, meanwhile, is like rolling over in his grave.
Just relax. Okay? If Lombardi saw this kid's leg, he would not be rolling.
He would not be drafting him, okay? That's not what you do in the draft, okay?
Yeah.
Second of all, if I see one more freaking tweet from Rob Domofsky, Wes Hodkowitz, or Jason Wilde over their shoulder, what was the time on that, guys? Oh, my dear Lord. What is going on in the world?
You know what? Is it so hard just to scroll past it? Is it really that difficult? Just like, there's a bunch of guys tweeting about the punting, and you just scroll.
Yeah, why are we tweeting about punting?
Why do you care what they're tweeting? Scroll past it.
Why are we tweeting about punting?
We aren't. They are.
You were tweeting about punting.
Well, punting, I never, ever, 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 ever in a million years have ever put up on my Twitter account the hang time of a practice punt. I have tweeted out the hang time in a preseason game punt and a regular season game punt, even a playoff game punt. But never in my history of my life have I ever put up the hang time of a practice punt.
Okay, and here's the other thing.
Ever. You know why? You know why? Because when you're on the sideline there's 20 other dudes
doing
who are all
it.
Putting it up. But so I'm thinking of you, Banky.
Okay.
I'm thinking, you know what Banky doesn't need right now? Is another tweet with the hang time of that.
Yeah, so I can do a screenshot of 6 of them. So here's the thing,
okay?
And I think this happened in the Steelers game where he didn't make the tackle. He makes a, I actually put out the video.
You mean on a return?
Yeah, it was on a return.
Right.
They return the ball. He basically like gets in the way.
Right.
But he doesn't go for the tackle, right? And everybody, and then some people,
where
is he from? What college? Mississippi?
Alabama.
Okay, all these Alabama people.
Mississippi, same thing.
Same crappy state. Okay, so all these people.
Now letters to Banky, not to me.
Nobody's writing letters anymore, Jesus. Okay, look, Actually, Mississippi and Alabama are like in the bottom.
They're writing letters.
They're in the bottom of all the 50 states. Like there's like a bunch of rankings.
Whatever.
Okay, so anyway, all these Alabama people are like, he did what he was paid to do. I'm like, no, in the NFL, there's 11 freaking guys on the side, okay?
Right,
you're
right,
in
right.
the field of play. You tackle the guy. That guy, if he doesn't tackle people, there's going to be hell to pay on the Green Bay Packers. Okay? That's all I'm saying.
I love that.
If somebody
they
runs.
They finally get a guy who can flip field position.
Oh
and Banky's
goodness.
Worried about his tackling.
Yeah. What good is hang time if they run it back because the punter's too
scared
to tackle?
Because they're so, it's so high and so far that the coverage gets
Lord.
Down there and the dude either fair catches it or he gets cremated
look, I'm
before
all,
he ever gets to the
look,
punter.
I'm all about being nerdy about football.
Right.
That is the nerdiest. Okay? Wes Hodd, I'm talking to you, buddy. Talking to you, buddy. I know you're watching the show. I know you couldn't miss it.
Oh, God.
Talking to you. This is a little different than, you know, speaking of Wes Hodkiewicz.
Oh, God.
Seriously.
Oh, no.
He is amazing.
He is. It's
Dude,
true.
Everything they're doing right now, yes. the 1 minute, the, all the everything. Stuff that Packers.com is doing, I really love it.
Okay, like, I'll just say though,
I really love it.
Interesting to see.
I love the videos.
I'll just say, interesting to see I left the beat doing my Facebook Lives and all of a sudden, Wes Hodkiewicz is doing Facebook Lives on Packers.com.
Yeah, somebody's got to fill that hole.
I just, it's curious timing to me.
Yeah,
it's
but
kind of funny.
His 1 minute,
it's great.
The
it's
one
great.
Minute.
The kid who cuts those
it's
is
amazing.
Freaking
yeah.
awesome.
Dude, he literally has
so
a team
good.
Of like 100 people making a 1 minute video.
He has a guy.
He has more than one guy.
He has one dude.
All those people are shooting all the video.
I know, but there's that one kid who does
Come
all the hype stuff. He's great.
All right,
He's
one
great.
More thing before Bogosphere.
All right, Trevor Davis rides again. How is this? Okay. Trevor Davis, really?
Kyler Fackrell, really? Kyler Fackrell, really?
Kyler Fackrell, I gave up on. I gave up on Kyler Fackrell. I heard Tom Silverstein like defending Kyler Fackrell. Give me a break.
How do you defend Kyler Fackrell?
Kyler Fackrell is Kyler Fackrell, people! I'm so over
I don't understand.
It.
How did Kyler.
So
how is Kyler Fackrell still on the team?
I don't know. I honestly.
No one
don't
beat
know.
Kyler okay. Fackrell? No one.
Here's what's sad. Not really.
Ugh.
But here's the thing.
Dear.
Here's the thing with Kyler Fackrell.
Me.
I love that we started with Trevor Davis and we went right to Kyler Fackrell.
Well, you were like, how is this
know,
guy on the team?
I don't
team?
Know. Okay, but here's my thing.
He's the how is this guy
know.
On the
I
team.
Know both of them. They both are. All right, but here's the thing with Kyler Fackrell. All right, it's all about athletic upside. That's all they're looking at. They love, that's the whole reason they drafted him in the third round, even though they never should have. They drafted him in the third round because he has, like, the measurables. It's all about the measurables. And we're, what, 3-4 years in now? Well, you know, this will be, I don't know how I turned into an 80-year-old man, but this will be the year that Kyler Fackrell's measurables actually merit his play getting on the field, the number of snaps he gets per game. It's going to happen this year.
Like, you should use that voice when
never,
you talk about being a beat writer.
Ever.
Because that's literally what
ever.
When people say beat writer.
If Kyler Fackrell has a sack on Sunday night, it's because it fell into his lap.
Exactly.
All right?
Yeah. He did have a good play last
All right.
year. Last year he had a good play.
He had two.
Yeah.
Or three.
I can't
maybe.
Remember the second one, but
two
I
of them
one.
Fell into his lap. Mm. He had my favorite this preseason was Fackrell literally had a play that was so bad and so embarrassing that Brian Gutekunst mentioned it in his press conference
Yikes.
The next week. Where he said, yeah, we think Fackrell's done some, I mean, that one play notwithstanding, blah, blah, blah. Like he literally knew that everyone in that room was like, yeah, there was the play where he tried to do a spin move inside and tripped over the dude and gave up the outside contain and homeboy went
otherwise,
for 20 yards.
He was fine.
But other than that, he's fine. Like, that's how bad Fackrell is. Like, his bad plays are so memorable that everybody knows exactly what you're talking about when you go, oh, you know, other than that one play. I mean, come on. That's like him being thrown around like a rag doll in Washington a couple years ago when he ran on late and then, like, he tried to rush the passer and the right tackle just literally throws him to the ground like a doll. Like, come on.
Well, and while we're... Okay,
I'm
so
over Kyler Fackrell.
Okay, so back to Trevor Davis.
Yeah.
The other thing I don't understand is don't guys that are trying to make the team, especially wide receivers, so like mm-hmm. your draft picks and some of your younger guys, mm-hmm. don't they understand that like the way to make the team mm-hmm. is to get on special teams?
Yeah, no, they know. They know. That's drilled into their heads. They
so
know
why
that.
Don't... But why don't more of them... I feel like...
Well, they don't...
I feel like there's guys that just don't...
The problem... Well, no. But there's where... That's where you're right. Because, like Crawford is a perfect example. He's a guy who is an absolute unleashed animal when he's on teams. Right? He's one of those guys who goes down there. He's a Tasmanian devil. He's a junkyard dog. Whatever you want to call him. He goes down there and he's ready to destroy people. He has no regard for human life, You know what I mean?
Yep.
Whereas you look at an Ahmad Thomas or Greer Martini, these guys that they let go.
Martini. That's such a great name.
He's on the practice squad now.
Such a great name.
But, you know, people are like, well, why did they let them go? It's like, because they're not going to play from scrimmage and they're not junkyard dogs on teams.
Yeah.
Like, you got to be a madman.
You got to make
You got to be a madman. Yeah. And you got to, like, people up on special teams. How you make the
That's
team.
That's a good point.
As an undrafted guy coming in late, you destroy people. That's how you get, because the coaches go back and watch the tape and go, oh, look at Crawford there. He's destroying people. Oh, look at Ahmad Thomas. He's just kind of taking on a block, not really shedding it. Like, that's the difference. That is it, especially when you're talking that low level on the roster. All right.
All right.
Let's do it, control room.
Let's go. It is time.
I'm out of beer. This is unfortunate.
They're not going to play.
They're not even.
There you go. Hang it.
That's right. It's the return of that venerable series.
That's great.
This week in the Packer blogosphere. What's going on, Corey Behnke?
What's up?
What's happening in the Packer blogosphere?
The blogosphere.
Woo!
There literally is not a nerdier word than blogosphere.
I don't think there is.
I really don't think. I love it.
I highly doubt it.
It's just like,
So, this week in the Packer blogosphere, as we often do when we think we're the news, we're the news.
The return of the prodigal son.
Well, I don't know about that, but I am back from the beat. Packer transplants is back.
Oh, no.
We're here to wreck stuff, people.
Yeah.
We are here.
We already broke this show.
Yeah.
Before we started.
A couple times. Move fast and break things. That's my motto.
That's right. Just like Jeff Bezos.
So, I just wanted to take a second to tell my story of my first day on the beat.
Oh,
this is my
dear.
First day.
Oh, man.
On the beat. I want everyone, can I address the camera here for
yes.
a second? Can I talk to the
people? I'll get out of your way.
I want you to think of a young man who, since the age of 3, has only dreamt of being involved in some way with the Green Bay Packers on a day in, day out existence, where his life was given meaning and hope by the ability to enter Lambeau Field as a professional and cover the team of his youth, the place where dreams could come true. I want you to have that in the back of your mind as I tell Corey this story. Because let me tell you, people, that's what was happening inside of me as this unfolded. All right, so my first day on the beat. I fly into Wisconsin the night before, 5 o'clock, whatever. Say hi to my folks, I'm all excited. Got this new job.
Like the first day of school.
I'm really nervous, really excited. I knew there was a little tension. I knew some people weren't very happy with my hire, but you know, I'm a professional. You know, I've covered the NFL for a number of years for Sports Illustrated, Bleacher Report. I feel I've not proven myself, but I've at least kind of shown that I can go into a press box as a professional and not bring shame upon the organization I'm representing. Equip myself
yep.
as a professional.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. Young man, full of hopes and aspirations. I wake up the next day. It was the first day of camp. And I get in the car, I'm in Appleton, drive up 41, I'm listening to Depeche Mode, windows are down. I'm so happy, Corey. I'm so happy. Now, I knew the first thing I had to do was have a meeting with the publisher and the sports editor for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Because they weren't happy with my hire.
Really?
They were not happy that a blogger was coming on board. But, you know, hey, I get it. I get it, it's a changing world. Newspaper people probably, not loving this idea of, a blogger, some guy from the internet coming in. Like, I get it. I get it.
Yeah, it's okay to
Especially
hire a
since,
journalist out of college, but...
Yeah, because, Gannett has, folded in Green Bay Press Gazette and Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and at the time, the man who hired me, the man who spearheaded my hire, Joel Christopher, was kind of the head of Gannett in Wisconsin. And hey, shout out to Joel, visionary. man who really thought outside the box until he moved on and left me in the lurch. But, so I'm driving up, I'm so excited, right? And I gotta go to this meeting first. We have a meeting with me, the publisher of the Milwaukee Journal, the publisher of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
The paper of record of Wisconsin.
I guess, and the sports editor. Because they know that there are a couple guys on the beat who aren't too happy about my hire either. One in particular.
Wonder who that was.
So I go in and we meet at a cafe and we talk about, you know, our history, the past, the fact that you rip them every chance you get, the fact that I
rip everyone,
I know. So the fact that I had been like critical of their coverage of the Troy Guyon incident and their coverage of it. And, you know, everybody who's been, this is water under the bridge a long time ago, whatever. But I get their upset, I get their touchy, so I talk to them. We're fine, you know, pretty much, I leave that meeting, the pre-meeting, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm like, all right, I get they're sensitive. So we go to the offices of the Green Bay Press Gazette, and I walk in, it's a big conference
room. The Heralded offices.
The Heralded offices. Yes.
Where are the Green Bay Packers actually?
Oh, no, this is a different one.
The white building.
They've moved. Oh, okay. But anyway. So I go in there, it's a big conference room, huge round kind of table, you know, and everyone shows up. The beat shows up. It's the aforementioned Joel
Christopher. It's PackersNews.com.
At PackersNews.com, everyone's there.
Everybody.
From the Green Bay side, Milwaukee side, editors, writers, everybody.
It's like you're at a Narcotics Anonymous meeting and you're in a circle.
Something like that.
Okay.
So we go in, and I'm like, all right, I know these guys are upset. I totally get it. Like, it's a new world, but I'm going to win them over, right? You know, I'm a professional, and I expect that I'm dealing with professionals. But you know what, Corey? I wasn't. Not the whole room. There were a number of children in attendance that afternoon, or that morning, I should say. So I go in. And there's this big round table. And I'm like, okay, this feels a little kind of. And I sit down, and people start to filter in. I'm the first one there. And all these other people get higher and higher. And people are kind of friendly, kind of standoffish.
They know who you are.
They know who I am, like, whatever. So we all sit down, and the meeting starts. And it is basically, and I'm not exaggerating, a 2+ hour roast fest of Aaron Nagler. Like, there were so many times in the meeting where I was like, do you guys know I'm here? I mean, and the ringleader was Bob McGinn. Bob was so pissed that I was hired. And let me just say, all right, I've respected the hell out of Bob McGinn. You got me in hot water with him because of something you said on this show.
On an entertainment show.
You gave your opinion, but the big mistake, apparently, was that when you went on this rant about Bob McGinn.
Who is senile? I called Bob McGinn senile.
And he's not, but.
And he is.
That's what you say.
He is.
He is not.
Okay.
But.
He is.
So at the end of your rant, I said something akin, I can't remember the exact quote. This is years ago. This is years before
this
meeting.
Yeah, that's what's so crazy. On an internet show.
You said this on an internet show that no one watched.
Yeah.
I said, I think you pretty much said all that needs to be said, Corey. Or something like that. I didn't take you to task. Hard enough, apparently.
Yeah, you didn't agree with me.
For Bob's liking. So Bob spends hours. That's not an exaggeration. Hours talking about what a mistake it is that they hired me. He literally says at one point, you could hire any kid out of college to do what he's doing.
Wow. Which is not true, by the way. FYI.
Like, that was the moment. When he said that I lost all respect for him.
There is no one, there's literally no one who has ever been on Twitter who's a Packers fan who feels like they could do what you do.
Well, it's just,
including
it's
myself.
Not, it's just to be so dismissive
of
a guy that I looked up to.
Yeah.
That I was so, you know, I was so in awe.
I mean, this show, we hero worshipped him.
For years.
For years. The only
for
time.
For years.
And honestly, the reason that I called him senile, and it is because of the Fail Mary.
He's not senile, by the way.
It is because of the Fail Mary,
right.
Okay? And I'm sorry, but there is no one, no Packer fan, no one who can look at the tape of the Fail Mary and right. tell me that the referee made the right decision.
Right.
Okay? But Bob McGinn has gone on many of a rant and said that that is the case. Right. Okay?
So you disagree with him?
I disagree and vehemently.
Yes,
I disagree
course.
So...
And you're allowed to.
I disagree so vehemently that I am willing to call him names because he is very not appropriate with his response.
So, you have a strong feeling about, I could care less about his Lance Easley take. Like nothing.
Yeah.
But I was the one in the room for 2+ hours hearing about what an idiot I was because of something you said. That was the crazy part. That was, like, the whole time I was at, and to this day, when I left the beat, I'm not going to mention who it was, but someone said, I still think you in that meeting is the most impressive thing I've ever seen. Because I just literally sat there and didn't respond. I just listened. And I just said, okay, all right. And I had started, the thing was, I started the meeting by saying, the night before, John Oliver had done this huge piece on Last Week Tonight about newspapers and about the changing landscape.
Yep.
And about how these guys are asked to do so much now that they weren't before. And I led with, I'm here to help you. All this video, all this social, all this crap you don't want to do, I'm here to take that off your plate. The whole reason I've been hired. And then Bob proceeds to just destroy me for 2 hours. You know, and here's the thing. It'd be one thing if I thought, like, years on now, this was years ago that this meeting happened. But, like, it'd be one thing I would sit here and I'd take it and I would even like kind of look back and think, oh, I understand where Bob is coming from. But I know so much shit about that guy now that I didn't know before that I find it laughable that he could sit there and say the shit he said about me. I mean, this is a guy who writes personal crap that has nothing to do with football. He wrote about Andrew Quarles' stillborn baby in Andrew Quarles' year-end grade.
It's ridiculous.
What the hell does that have to do with football, Bob? I mean, that's the kind of crap. It got so bad with Bob and the Packers. The Packers went to Milwaukee. Mark Murphy went to Milwaukee to talk to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and say, what are you going to do about this guy? And these Milwaukeeans, who we're not done with them yet, Corey, because we got something else to talk about when it comes to Milwaukee. They were like, oh, no, we know. We don't even... Have you tried talking to Bob? I mean, come on. So, you know, fine. Bob hates my guts. Fine. Great. Right back at you, Bob. You were a hero. You revealed your true self. You're dead to me. Oh, by the way, how's blogger life?
All right.
That's it. That's what I got.
I loved it.
Man.
I loved every minute of it. So I'm going to close the show.
Yeah? Is it time? You don't want to say your piece?
No, we'll save that.
You're going to save that?
We'll save it.
All right. That sounds good.
I think we're going to trim that and put that out everywhere. So, well, that'll do it for this week's episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who connect with us all across the internet, be it here at Cheesehead TV or on any social channels. You guys really help make this a unique fan experience. And, oh, I want to give a shout out. We got a new Patreon.
Yes.
So you can actually support this show.
1,000,000,000%.
Trust me, it's expensive. We love it. But you can support it. We've got our Patreon. You'll see in the credits, we put everybody who's
contributed to the Patreon. You are in the credits.
We're going to do a special Patreon extended interviews when we have guests on, although after this rant, we probably won't have any more guests. So, good times. And but anyway, that's why Aaron and I are here. We are, and always...
Always.
...devoted to the Green Bay Packers and Green Bay Packer fans worldwide.
Worldwide. Thanks a lot, guys. Well, I guess we'll see you next week, because nobody can shut us down.
That's right. It's the internet.
Is there any positive in terms of motivation for your guys, how ticked off they are about how this played out? Any of that can be used in any positive way whatsoever?
I'm not in the mood for drama tonight, Jason. Okay? I appreciate that.
What do you think you told the critics tonight?